Father, we're so thankful for your many blessings here this morning. Lord, I just pray for a rushing wind of your Holy Spirit to overcome this congregation this morning, that you would speak to every heart here. Father, that nothing would hinder what you want to do in each and every life. We give you praise, honor, and glory now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 4. And so kind of what I've been thinking about, I don't have Facebook, and I don't see a lot of the stuff going on. I don't get the local paper or anything else, but apparently there's been a suit filed or a complaint filed against Mansfield School and for prayer Wednesday night. They had a prayer meeting at the high school football field. There was probably well over I'd say 100 people there. It was kind of interesting because you had different denominations, different backgrounds, but it wasn't about that. But you could just see it evident in the way that people talked, the way that people prayed and everything. But it was a good thing. It was a good thing to pray for school. It was a good thing to pray for our teachers, our community. But it really got me thinking a lot about the freedoms that we have in this country. And, you know, and I think it was last Sunday I was talking to Tim about it. And I said, you know, it just seems like court case after court case is won for our freedom. But they just keep going, and they just keep going, and they just keep going, and they keep filing lawsuit after lawsuit and complaint after complaint because they want to stop the work of God. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, where does true freedom really come from, though? So that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Luke 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And so here he's saying that I've come to proclaim freedom. You know, we're celebrating 4th of July, Independence Day, freedom this week, and we're talking about freedom, freedom, freedom. And here he says, "I've come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Most of us probably don't really feel like prisoners. But there are many that are. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." See, we have a freedom in Christ. We have a freedom in Christ that it doesn't matter what the laws of this country say. It doesn't matter what suits anybody files. It doesn't matter what they can try and take away in the physical realm. There's a freedom in Christ that all of us should have. See, when I think about them taking prayer out of school, have they really taken prayer out of school? No, because they can't stop me from praying. At my work, if they say, "Teacher, you're not allowed to do this," I still have freedom to do it because of what Jesus Christ has done in here. See, what they do on the outside, what they're trying to do, they can't take away because Jesus has proclaimed to set the captives free. He's come to set us free today, free from all this garbage, free from all this junk. That we have a freedom if we would just grab hold of it, if we would just understand the freedom that Christ has come to do. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. So this is really going to mess with y'all a little bit, maybe. Ephesians 6, 5 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. There's some other spots, I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Peter, that it talks about slaves and masters. He's not saying, slaves, break the bondage of slavery in a physical sense and run from your captors and go start a new village on a remote island someplace, did he? No, he says, slave, respect your earthly masters. Serve your earthly masters with fear and sincerity of heart, and serve them as if you were serving Christ. So see, Lord, help me here, because I really want to convey what the Lord's saying in my heart. See, what we get so caught up in, and I am so thankful for the country we live in, and I'm thankful for people like Jay Sekulow and people with the ability and the minds to fight and file lawsuits and fight for our freedoms. I am so grateful for that. So don't misunderstand me, but we have a freedom that it doesn't matter what the laws say. It doesn't matter what your master, your slave master says. We all say, well, we're not slaves to anybody. But you have a boss at work. In some translations, I believe it's in the King James, it doesn't say slave, it says servant here. We all are serving someone. And see, we get so caught up in the fight. Sometimes we forget about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? We have a freedom that Christ has come to set the captives free. And he's saying here, When you're working, when you're serving, do it as you're doing it unto me. Work as if you're working unto me, as if you're doing the will of God from your heart, not just when their eyes are on you. You know, so often we slack and we try and get away with stuff. If the boss isn't looking, if the boss ain't watching, if our main boss is off, it's just like a relaxed setting a little bit at work, you know, and you can feel a little freer, but here it's saying obey them, not only to win their favor when their eyes on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because ultimately, who are we serving? God has placed you where He's placed you for a purpose, for a time. For a time such as this, I preached on a few weeks ago, for a time such as this, God has put you where He's got you. To serve. To serve wholeheartedly. To have that freedom that only Christ gives. Philippians 4, verse 10. Philippians 4, 10. Philippians 4:10 here, this was wrote in a prison, in a jail cell, okay? And this wasn't an air-conditioned prison like what we have today. It wasn't with color television and all these things. This was a nasty, terrible place, okay? Philippians 4:10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. See, there's a freedom in contentment. There's a freedom in understanding that my circumstances, it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court is filing a suit against Mansfield High School. There's a contentment and there's a freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Okay? Here, he's in a prison. He's in a prison and he says, I'm content no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's happening. Oh, I need that, church. Because things go a little rough at work. Things go a little bad in the finances. Things go a little bad in health or whatever. And man, my world, I'm all upset and everything else. Oh Lord, help me to be content no matter the circumstances. He's writing this from prison. Verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Boy, I need that. I get hangry if I ain't ate. I'm hungry, and I get angry, and I'm ready to eat. But he's saying, I'm good. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. See, there's a freedom when we're living our life through Jesus Christ. When we're allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, when we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to direct our path. There's just a freedom there that okay, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's taking place. God, I'm in your plan. I'm in your will. Whether I have plenty, whether I don't have nothing, whether, you know, whatever the circumstances are, there's a freedom that God, you're in control. You're taking care of this. You know, I usually drive every place. Nobody in my family likes to drive. But part of it, too, is I like to be in control. I like to drive. Yesterday, though, we had to run to a spot for just a minute, and I didn't have to drive. And it felt kind of nice to just sit in the back seat for a minute and look around, and I was looking at some of the scenery and some different things, and it was just kind of nice to let someone else drive. You know, there's an element of that I need in my life, of just saying, God, go ahead. Take control. Take the driver's seat because I trust you. I trust you're going to direct. There's a freedom in that of God. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, God, you're in control. He's in prison here. Church, he's in prison. And he's saying, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That I'm okay whether I have a bunch, whether I have little, no matter what it is. I'm okay. So many of us, we don't have that peace. We don't have that freedom. We don't have that contentment in our life. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who have believed Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, there's something about knowing the Word of God that there's freedom in. There's something about learning the Word of God that there's freedoms. If you hold to my teachings, if you grab hold of them, not just know about them, but if you grab hold of my teachings and you learn them, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's something about knowing the truth and knowing that God's taking care of you. I don't know why I just thought of that little children's song. He's got the whole world in His hand. Y'all remember that song? He's got the whole world in His hand. There's a truth and a freedom of knowing and truly trusting that God is in control. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Is that not everybody today? We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We're free. We have all these freedoms, we say. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You know, first verse we read, Luke 4, He came to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. I'd say this morning that there's people in this room right now that's a slave to sin. There's something in your life that has you bound up. I get so mad at myself sometimes because I feel the freedom. God set me free, and I'll go weeks, maybe even months. And I just feel like I'm on top of the world. God, yes. I'm walking in victory. I'm controlling my anger. I'm controlling my thoughts. And all these things are going on, and then all at once, something will set something off inside of me. And here comes that old sinful nature. And I yield to it. And I yield to it. And then finally I stop. I said, God, forgive me. And then there's the guilt and there's the condemnation from Satan and there's the lies we talked about last Sunday night about the being surrounded by the enemy and allowing the enemy to speak falsehoods into your heart and into your life and into your mind. If you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not a denial of, we live in America, we've never been a slave to anyone, and he's saying, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Church, there's a freedom that I believe Jesus Christ wants for you and for me this morning. And there's a freedom that we can't get from President Trump. There's a freedom that we can't get from Congress. There's a freedom that we can't get from Jay Sekulow. We can't get it from our schools. We can't get it from our police officers. There's a freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. And that freedom, it doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if there's lawsuits against you. It doesn't matter where you are. That when the Son sets you free, there's a freedom inside of you that no man can give you, that only the Son of God can give you. And I believe that He wants that for each and every one of us this morning. It's a freedom from sin. It's a freedom from the pressure of this society. It's a freedom from having to conform to what this world says you ought to be. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know? You guys listen to this. This ain't Pete. This is the Word of God. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Church, everybody thinks they're going to heaven these days. And that's a gospel that's kind of preached these days. But the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not making this up. If you guys got your Bibles and you're open, is that not what your Bible says? That the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the male prostitutes, nor the homosexual offenders, nor the thieves. So that's all. Oh, I'm good. I'm not sleeping around on my husband or my wife. I'm not messing with the same sex. I'm good. I'm not stealing, nor the thieves. See, this goes on. Nor the greedy. I struggle with that. Grabbing on to something and grabbing on to it so tightly, and you don't want to let anyone borrow. You don't want to let anybody use. You know, I know people that, you know, we were just talking about this yesterday. I didn't even think about this, but someone had borrowed my floor jack for their car to rotate their tires. I don't care. I promise. Anything I have, you guys need it, you come get it. It's all a gift from God anyway. My dad drives me crazy back there because I've tried to loan him my car and he won't take it. It's like, Dad, it's okay. Take it. It's good, you know? Anything I have, any one of you can take. But then when it comes down to it and something don't get returned, something don't come back, how do you feel? I had a floor jack I loaned to somebody, and it's been gone for almost a year. And I said, I remembered who borrowed it. And I just said, no big deal. You still got it. I gave that back to you a long time ago. Oh, okay. They don't have any reason to lie to me. About 2 weeks later, I found your floor jack in my garage. They brought it back. It's all good. The biggest problem that I have with loaning stuff to people is I forget who I loaned it to, and then I might not ever get it back because I don't remember who has it. But sometimes it's easy with like a material thing like a floor jack. Oh, they ain't gonna hurt it. But what if they do ask for your car for a week or a month? What if they need $1,000? You know, what if they want to come and sleep over, stay for a few days? I mean, how are we with our stuff? Are we greedy? Are we, I work hard and I earn it? Or are we, God, you've given me everything that I have? Nor drunkards. You know, we get into so many debates on drinking, not to drink, whether to drink, can you drink, not to drink. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life in the sense of alcohol. If you want to talk to me personally about it, I'll tell you my opinion. I'll just tell you my opinion. I think it's bad. I've seen too many families ruined. I buried my cousin 2 years ago, 42 years old, because he became an alcoholic from drinking alcohol. If you have a glass of wine with dinner, if you have a can of beer, that's between you and the Lord, okay? But for me, I'd say stay away from it. And what does this say here? A drunkard. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, so what's the point you become a drunkard? For me, I hadn't drank in so many years. If I had one can of beer, I'd probably be woohoo. For someone else, they might could have a 12-pack and it not even affect them. What's the point you become that drunkard? Why do we even want to mess with it? Why do we even want to mess with it? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, nor slanderers. Wait a minute, now you're meddling. All this gossiping, all this junk. Talking bad about so-and-so, and so-and-so wore this, and so-and-so posted this because she's just trying to get likes, and so-and-so, he's such a... Slanderers! Wait a minute, you're saying a drunkard and a slanderer is up there with a homosexual? I didn't, that's what the Word of God said. Nor swindlers. I didn't look up the definition of swindlers, but I can imagine that's somebody that's always trying to get something over on you. They're always trying to get the better end of the deal. Will inherit the kingdom of God. They're not gonna. And this is what some of you were. That's what you used to be. But see, Jesus has come to set the captives free. So if this describes any of you, there's freedom this morning. There's freedom for you. There's freedom for me. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So let's just really get to it this morning. What's mastering you? Is it the Lord? Is it money? Is it success? Is it your children? Is it your family? Is it sex? Is it drugs? Is it a bottle? What is your master this morning? I will not be mastered by anything. It goes on to say what? Food for the stomach? And the stomach for food? But God will destroy them both. What is your master, see? The thing that's controlling you, the thing that drives you, the thing that grabs your passion, the thing that grabs your heart. I found myself this week, I'm having some medical problems. And I've had a rough week. But I found myself this week praying, God, help me get feeling better because I have this and this and this to do. And it dawned on me. It was all helping other people, and I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do this week. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Because it wasn't a selfish prayer. It kind of surprised me. But God, I got some people that need some help right now, and I can't do it the way I'm feeling. Help me. It wasn't, God, I need to get back to work so I can pay for this and pay for that and take care of this. It was, God, so that I can serve. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I failed this week. I stumbled. But in a moment of an honest prayer, that was what my honest prayer was. God, help me so that I can serve. Church, what's your master? If right now your world came to a halt because of a sickness, because of a loss of a job, because of you were sent to a hospital, a sick kid, whatever it is, if your world came to a halt, where would your heart be? What would your mind go to if all at once you lost your job, you couldn't work? What is your master? Has the Son set you free? Are you free indeed this morning? Whether you're in plenty, whether you're in want, have you found contentment in knowing that God's in control? Man, we've had some trials lately. Charlie's in a trial right now. Mike, he had a trial a few weeks ago. We've had some trials lately. People hurting, people problems. Do we fret? Do we worry? Do we get ulcers from, God, what am I going to do? Or do we say, God, in the middle of the storm, I know you're there. I know you're there. I know that you came to set your captives free. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. See, there's an element there that we can put on a good face here at church. But he's saying, don't be hiding what's going on. Don't use that freedom to cover up evil, the nature that we just talked about for that swindler and that slanderer and the greed. Don't be covering that up. There's a true freedom. If you've been covering up something this morning, I'm going to read one more verse. I had some more verses, but I think we need to stop. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then verse 2 goes into, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Can I tell you something this morning? I'm not just up here to preach a sermon. I'm not up here to entertain. If you guys are looking for entertainment, you need to go to the Malco, or you need to go to somebody that can talk a whole lot better than me, but I'm here to tell you the truth, and the truth is that Jesus wants to set you free from those little, deep, hidden sins that you think no one knows about. You can put on the happy face. You can smile and act like everything's okay, but the reality is, I don't want you to miss heaven. I don't want you to miss heaven. And what did we just read? Those people that live that lifestyle, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, that's what you used to be. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:1, throw off that sin that so easily entangles you. If there's something that grabs you, if there's something that tangles you up, you need to get it off of. You know, runners, when they run, what do? They, like a a real runner, like that runs marathons and stuff like that, they wear as few amount of clothes as they can. Because they don't want anything hindering. They don't want anything holding them back. They don't want anything weighing them down. This morning, we need to fix our eyes back on Jesus. And we need to pray, God, forgive us. God, your word says that you came to set the captives free. And he wants to set you free this morning. Let's stand. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, the times that I've been so easily entangled by the sin once again. Lord, the times that I know you've set me free and I've turned back and I've went back. Father, I pray for forgiveness. And I pray for forgiveness for this congregation, Lord, for the little things that we're hiding, the little things that we're letting creep in and that we say is okay. Father, that we would understand that you want us to be set free from all those things, whether we think it's a little sin or a big sin, that you came to set the captives free. And so I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd begin to speak to every heart. You'd begin to speak to every mind. That if there's a sin, if there's something that's hindering our walk with you right now, that you'd bring it to our mind and that we would ask for forgiveness, that we would repent of it. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to fill us, that we could walk in true freedom. We could walk in true freedom from this moment on. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, come. These altars are open. But don't miss this opportunity. If there's something in your heart, may this 4th of July week, this Independence Day, be a true time of freedom for each and every one of them. I don't know why, but I've had two or three different things going through my mind right here. Church, it's real. It's real, the freedom that Christ Jesus provides. But I thought of Samson. And what did Samson do? He kept messing up. And Delilah kept coming to him and kept coming to him. And finally, she figured out the secret. She cut off his locks of hair. And one of the saddest verses in the Bible, I think, is when Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And she said, and he got up and went out as before. He did not know that the Spirit of God had left him. And he was defeated. He didn't know the Spirit of God had left him and he was defeated. And I just feel like this morning that I just want you all, and I believe it's for myself too, to understand the seriousness of sin. Let's get it out of our lives and let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and let's walk in freedom, in the true freedom. And we would not be entangled by the garbage of this world any longer. He came to set us free, to set the captives free. In Hebrews chapter 12, I encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter because he says, throw off the sin that so easily entangles you. And then it goes into the price that Jesus paid on that cross for you and for me. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be taken lightly, the freedom that he has given us by the cross. Let's live our lives as servants of the Most High. Filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit each and every day. Y'all be safe this week. I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July with your family. But more than anything, I pray that you walk in freedom in Jesus Christ this week. Get the victory. It's there for you. Have a blessed afternoon.